This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory,
oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's Levin Miller. I'm telling you, really, the lines are open. Right? You don't need to talk to me about quantum physics. I don't need to know how great the PLP is. I don't really care about the FNM. But we can talk, right? Because I realized that in the business of talk radio, you all have things that you want to talk about, right? And it shouldn't just be all about me and what I want to talk about. I believe in a more inclusive kind of radio sometimes, where I allow you to tell me what's happening in and around New Providence. There are some things that I do want to kind of put out there, though. If by chance, anybody can get me in contact with Miss Athena Damianos, I think that's Miss, or Mr. Gladstone Thurston, I think both of them were journalists, I would be so happy. You would make me very, very happy. Because I'm not going to give my number out on the radio, because there are crazy people that will call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and tell me about their cat that's stuck in a tree. And although I am in the business of rescuing kittens, I only like to rescue baby inner city kittens and not big grown cats who ought otherwise know not to be stuck in trees. So I'm not giving my cell phone number out. I did that one time. Voldemort. It will never, ever, 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 ever happen again. But if Miss Athena Damianos or Mr. Gladstone Thurston somehow, by the grace of God, is under the sound of my voice, and if by chance they are technologically savvy, please reach out to me via Facebook. It is my actual name because I don't have anybody to hide from. So it is L-E-Y. I don't know why my parents put a Y in the middle of my name. V-O-N Miller. I'm on Facebook. You can inbox me. I answer all my own messages. I promise you I will. I don't ever come off of the thing. I'm there all the time. You can get me there. I would really like to meet you and talk to you. Okay. Outside of that, I'm going to give you all an opportunity as well. Those of you that may know him a little better than I do. I regret to say that I am not as versed with people like Mr. Charles Carter, as, say, a Warren McCartney, as, say, a Jeffrey Lloyd, as, say, a Candy Adams, et cetera, Bodine Johnson and they, that all seem to have had great run-ins with Mr. Charles Carter. I will say this, though. I think Charles Carter, in my estimation, is the vocal Morgan Freeman of the Bahamas, though. Like, you hear his voice, and you do not doubt that is the voice of Charles Carter. And there are some people that kind of have that. There are some people that have these voices that no matter where you hear them, wherever in the world you hear them, you know for certain that that is the person. And even as they age, their voices stay golden. I think Charles Carter had one of those voices, and he used to do this little thing these are Bahamians. And that's the one thing I think I'm going to forever and ever, never, never, never remember when I think about the name Charles Carter. So if you have tributes, 323-622-3225-4316, 325-4259. People say I give that number out too quickly. I don't know how is that possible. I give it out every day. So literally, if you just wrote down one of the numbers each day, by the first week, you'd have all the numbers, right? But the numbers again are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Levin Miller is incapable of doing it any slower than that. And you can text me at 422-4796. Outside of that, we can also talk about what's happening in the news. I see my friends at Atlantis are finally being severed. I'll tell you what disappoints me about it. What disappoints me about it is that we have now created a quagmire in my mind. What do I mean? Atlantis has some 8,000 people employed. All right? There have been, I don't know, arguably two-thirds of that number that have been home over the last 1 year. Sending 700 people home doesn't quite cure the problem in my mind. And now the issue becomes, who is going to continue to be furloughed? Who is going? Are the people that are not in the 700 going to now be allowed back to work? Or what exactly is the position? Because I feel like now we are continuing to create a larger conundrum as we continue down this downward spiral towards extensions and furlough, etc. So I don't really know what's happening. It doesn't bring me any level of certainty. It doesn't bring me any level of confidence. I really like John Pender. I don't hear the director of labor on this. I have zero confidence in the minister of labor. And so at this point, I do not know what the people that are the employees of Atlantis should or ought to do. What about my friends that have done 35 years in the hotel? That was seconds away from their employment, I mean from their retirement, sorry, and have basically not received any of their bonuses over the 12 years, have not received any of their salary increases over the last 12 years, but they have kind of now moved into retirement while being in a position of furlough. Like, how does this clear it all up? I'm not really certain. I don't think from the letter that I read from Atlantis that it spells that out. Which of the 700 will it be? How are we choosing the 700? Who will be among the 700? And the ones that are not in the 700 that are also not a part of the one-third that was actually to work. Are we going to continue to drag them down the hole of furlough? Where are we with it all? And so I think the government has to at some point decide that it's going to bring its brass knuckles and demand that Atlantis make a blanket decision. And that is a decision that will affect everyone. I don't know how much longer we could continue to try to, with this scalpel-like fashion, keep people in a state of underemployment, because that's what it is. You're still on record. You still get your insurances paid. But outside of that, you really have no income from this employment. And so I think that's something that we're going to have to look into. Again, the lines are open. You can give me a call. We could talk about what you want to talk about. Please do not take me down the rabbit hole of insanity this morning. All right? Also, I see that there is an advisory out, Allenton. They are advising that people not eat raw conch. Now, I don't know how come only me one noticed, right? But it appears as I'm the only person that is aware of this. And I have no scientific data to support it. But I will say this. Conch is poisoning people every May and June. How come y'all don't know that? How come y'all don't know that as soon as the temperatures start to go up, conch does poison people? Why is this not public knowledge? Why are so many of you all still getting poisoned with conch? Listen to me. Let's just all agree as a citizenry that we are not going to eat conch until July. There's no need for an advisory, not raw conch anyway. There's no need for an advisory. There's no need for any of that other stuff. I'm not really sure what's going on. I actually think that it is. I think that it is quite interesting, the timing as well, though, because we see in one breath of air, the Portiski dog vendors are invited to a meeting. Four of them show up. They then send out an advisory inviting more of them to come. I am not aware whether more of them did in fact come. But then shortly after, right, you see the advisory that say, oh yeah, y'all don't eat no raw conch around here. And so since y'all ain't eating raw conch, we don't need no conch stand. Boom, problem fixed, right? That's kind of how it's out to be. But you can give me a call. 323-623-3235-4316. 325-4259. This the last thing I want to talk about. It is not usual that I, believe this or not, listen to talk radio, right? But sometimes I do. And yesterday I had the wonderful occasion of listening to Warren McCartney and the Minister of Education and Member of Parliament for South Beach, Jeffrey Lloyd. Now, everyone that knows me, Batamez, everyone that knows me knows that I like Jeffrey Lloyd, right? I think he is quite punctilious in his execution of the English language. I think he's one of those people that we could deem, I don't know, quite intent about his standard and bearing. I think he's one of those people who tries to be the standard, right? Someone that you rarely doubt. But I wish to say this, right? Because, you know, there are three sackers in this whole lineup, right? I think from the year of 72, right? I think that's their graduation year. But, boy, I ain't gonna lie. I listened to that interview yesterday, and I really believe the prime minister got the wrong sacker as his PR guy. Because, listen to me. That bunch of fluffiness I heard from Jeffrey Lloyd yesterday, I almost fainted. I mean, I have never seen such polish in my entire life. I mean, the Prime Minister is just a man that is so full of compassion. When we think about family islanders that had nowhere to stay, it was the Prime Minister and his decision and his own direction. Jeffrey, what are you talking about? You see, because for me, I couldn't quite understand, where do they think we live, right? And he talked about, he had a segment where he talked about, these are all irrefutable facts. Well, here are some other facts. Other facts are that we spent two briefcases full of money on a hotel that we have not been able to occupy in Grand Bahama. The facts are that for a very long time, Bahamian students were always able to go to the College of the Bahamas and BTVI free of charge. Now, will I say that they have not lent some of additional allowances? That is arguable, but I believe it remains to be seen, right? Will I say that they didn't have a good thing going with the preschool scholarship? Man, absolutely. I myself have been the beneficiary of the preschool program. Is it fair to say, or is it reasonable to say, that this administration was met with so many challenges, and we came into office, and in our first year, we dealt with Irma. There was $350 million worth of bills that we weren't aware was going to be there. And then we ended up with Dorian, a monster storm that is Dorian. And I sat there and I cringed, because I don't anticipate that from Jeffrey Lloyd. I anticipate, when I think about people like Jeffrey Lloyd, that this is going to be a man that comes out here and tells me where we are and where we're going. Because I don't care about what's going on. And I say it all the time, that if governance was easy, I would let Potcake do it, right? Because he looks like a guy that likes doing easy things. And if it was easy, I would just call him. Or if he was busy, I would get my five-year-old to do it. What I don't expect is when I think about people like Jeff Lloyd, that they would complain to me about having a difficult time. He was asked, do you think the prime minister has a difficulty with taking questions in the media, etc.? One fluffy bunch of nothingness about how difficult it was to get Mr. Ingram, and how difficult it was to get Mr. Christie, and how difficult it was to go. Well, that was nonsense. Because I think we all conclusively agree that Perry Gladstone Christie don't know a microphone, that he is not heads over heel in love with, right? He loves them all. All you have to do is turn one on. Now, does he have enough time to come and sit down on a show for an hour? Maybe not. But at least he came, admittedly, to Mr. Lloyd's show. Does Hubert Ingram want to come and sit down in the studio with you for 1 hour? Maybe not. Admittedly, according to Mr. Lloyd, he actually came. All right? We now have a prime minister that says silly things to people like, I can't eat my my stew fish, or you're fishing from the moon, or I mean you just any number of complete vapid statements made from the prime minister, right? So when people say that the man has a difficulty with the media, that he has a difficulty with extemporaneous speak, that he has a difficulty with being able to, and then Minister Lloyd goes on to talk about, oh, you know, I see him after cabinet, and he engages any number of press reporters, and he called names, Altavis, Manin, and well, certainly he wants to talk to the people that work for ZNS. Okay, great. But I mean, what about the other rest of the people that make up the press corps? Like, it is just, I do not know. As somebody that I claim on my own personal accord to be a distant mentor of mine, I do not know what's happening to these men. It's something special going on. And listen, for whatever it is worth, I've said before, I actually believe Jeffrey Lloyd is going to win South Beach again. That ain't because I like him. I just think the math suggests that, right? I think the math suggests that Jeff is probably going to be one of the hardest people to beat in a three-way race in the next general election. So I don't imagine he is fearful of losing his seat. But Jesus, this defense of the prime minister yesterday, it was something special. I can't even kind of put it in words. I mean, the minister goes on and on and on about C.W. Sawyer and how the children have to move and go over by UB because they had a roof challenge and la-da-da-da-da-da, right? Well, that was never really public knowledge. We kind of all learned that by the way. And he's asked, well, will they be ready for the fall? And he's talking about having to now do the interior work at the school and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there was really no conclusive answer. Like, will it be done by the fall? I don't know if I got a hard yes or a hard no yesterday. It almost sounded like, we anticipate it'll be done by the fall. Absolutely, it'll be done by the fall. But not in a way that is, okay, here are the deadlines that they've given me. These are the things, these are the markers that we're going. And it's just, I don't know. So those are the things I want to talk about. You could join me in talking about those things again if you have a contact or some means by which I can reach Miss Athena Damianos or Mr. Gladstone Thurston. Please let me know. One of the other things that's getting my attention is, am I the only one that notices the land grab that's happening on New Providence? Like, is it just me one? Because unlike many people, right, I happen to have gone to school in a time, I imagine, because I don't know what you all learned when you were in school, where they told me that all of the property west of Gladstone Road was kind of protected land, not to be cultivated, not to be used for development, et cetera, et cetera. Then, of course, Gladstone Road turned into some sort of an industrial area, blah, blah, blah. Now, though, it is becoming worrisome, and I'll tell you why. Because I drive down Gladstone Road, and every Jesus time I pass, it looked like somebody cleared down another 2 acres. People are clearing down massive acres of land on the airport road. When you drive further towards Adelaide, and most of it isn't happening right along the roadside, but right, you know, maybe 100 feet into the bush, you can clearly see that massive chunks of land are being cleared down. And I am very concerned. I don't know if I am the only person that this concerns, but it concerns me gravely, and so I want to talk about it. I've got some calls on the line. Let's take them. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I feel great.
Man, now that you touched on the interview yesterday, I'm wondering if I could ask you, were you able to listen to someone who called in concerning the constitutional issues of the lockdown? What's your take on that?
Well, actually, I didn't hear the constitutional issues of the lockdown. I heard somebody call about the constitutional issue of the government discriminating with the land sale. I think it's section 28 or 23 of the Constitution. And I agree with the caller that that the government cannot discriminate, or agencies of the government or agents of the government cannot discriminate against the citizens. And whatever that discrimination looks like, whether it's color, creed, religion, whatever. And so in all instances where there is discrimination on the part of the government, I believe that people ought to challenge it in a court.
Yeah. Well, I tell you one thing for sure, though. If ever you need a legal representative, Jeff Lloyd is your man, because he knows how to make it look right.
That was some masterful maneuvering
yesterday. He's good. He's really good. And I admire him, because rain or shine, he's the man.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I got a text right here. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. I have a text right here that says, hi, maybe they saved the... Maybe the Save the Kong people is behind us. I don't know. When the PM asks for 6 months, Atlantis lay... What does it say? When the PM asks for 6 months Atlantis layoff, who is going to fight for their rights now that they are being trampled on? I don't know. has anyone heard from any of the union leaders? Because I don't remember hearing from none of them either. Great show, Levin. I used to admire Jeff Lloyd as a talk show host. If he truly believes the PM has done a great job, I have lost all respect for him. I mean, and he's entitled to believe that the Prime Minister has done a great job. I just believe that it was... I believe it was like... This is a Levin word. It's not a word. It was poodly yesterday. Like it was a big ball of furriness. Like, listening to him yesterday try to defend the 5 years was just... I wasn't sure. Like, why did you all buy the hotel and not seek to buy the Port Authority completely out in Grand Bahama? Only to then turn around and have to buy the airport that Hutchison Whampoa refuses to fix. Like, why did that happen? You evacuated people out of the southern Bahamas, something that had never been done. Bravo, Zulu. Fantastic. But why are we in a position where now we have people who are having their houses bulldozed and we are running into problem with treaties that we've signed with the UN and the government doesn't seem to have a linear policy that will get us around that? Why is that happening? And so for every one thing that they've given us that's been good, I could think about at least three things that have been a bit sketchy. And, you know, what I will say, though, is that man should be the Prime Minister's press officer because that was brilliant defense of the Prime Minister yesterday. I don't know if it's a sack thing. I'm really sure what's happening. But, Jesus, that was wonderful to watch. Let's take another call. Good morning, Collie. You're on. Collie, there.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
hi. You want to try it again? Let's go. Next line. Good morning, Collie. You're on.
Hello.
Hey.
Mr. Miller.
How you doing?
How are you?
I feel like I'm in great shape, Robert.
How come there is no Kong poison in any other island? How come?
Well, I think the easiest way to answer that is population. Population size.
Yeah. That water is polluted, that's all. All that sewer from the pipes and from people urinating in the water. But there's no other Kong poison on no other island.
Well, I don't know if you could say sewer and all that other stuff because then you'd have to prove that there's leaking sewer and blah, blah, blah.
But why they're seeing warm water in Andrews, seeing warm water in Exuma, seeing water in West End. Now, let's get back at hand, right? Commander Amos Rowell is the only rare commander to see in active force.
Mm-hmm.
The United States named all their bases after great generals.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to start that, to name that base after Commander Amos Rowell. I want you to put that at hand.
Okay.
Name the base after Amos.
And you imagine they will listen to me? Let's see what happens.
Because you got a big platform.
Okay, let's see what happens.
Let's get back to them now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Lloyd is a skilled advocate. He is what I call prime minister type of mind.
Mm-hmm.
You must be answerable, even if it's BS in us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to the public. I know how many the flowers are flambéed so long. What would he good at flambéing?
Mm-hmm.
I think his ministers are coming for him. Yesterday, did you hear him speak in the assembly? He sounded beleaguered. He sounded defeated. Did you hear him? His head hanging down like he is don't know what to do. He will hold on to his power. His brain doesn't operate that fast.
Mm-hmm.
You can doctor them all they want. Doctors don't run hospitals. I can tell you all that. Doctors don't run the hospitals in the world. The big hospitals are run by people who are trained and run hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
He is out of his league, out of his depth, and that the 4-year itch is on. LBT, after 4 years, and a legal grad,
mm-hmm.
They decided that this man is not good leadership material.
Mm.
His minister are able to work it overtime. Coming for him. He is our CEO.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on with him, but we have to do something. Remember now, we vote for prime ministers, you know.
Mm.
Next time I vote to put the prime minister out. I don't care who you send me, I will vote to put ministers out.
All right. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4259. Next call. Come on and call. You're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Christina. How are you, man?
I feel great.
Boy, it is amazing that you mentioned the Mardi Gras thing, because I have been watching that for a little bit now since the Free National Movement has been in. So it is amazing. I see the same thing you see,
mm-hmm.
you know, but nobody is saying anything about it.
It's very concerning to me.
Yes, yes, very, it is. And with respect to the interview yesterday with Minister Lloyd, man, if they could govern the way he's talking,
mm-hmm.
they would stay in power forever and eternity. Because, man, this man can talk a good governance, but I wonder if he understands that this 1,800 people that he speaks about, that this governance of people that they've been touching, and what is the fact of this and the fact of that, I wonder if he understands that is a very small circle in this country, and that is less than 1% of the people that they're touching. I wonder if he really understands that, because he honestly believes that they have touched the Bahamian people on this 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't know that those 1,800 people that he speaks about is the same 1,800 people that is in their circle that has been getting everything.
That's the 1,800 people we talking about. We have a problem with that. We talking about the same 1,800 people, so he talking about them and how the government assisted them, and we saying, man, please, the rest of us dying. Come save us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. You're right.
Tell you this. I listened to him yesterday, and I have, I'm not one of those people that is interested in butterball and lotion, and I don't polish brass very well. But I will say this. Jeffrey Lloyd is one of my favorite people. I have a list of favorite people. Jeffrey Leonard Lloyd is on that list, right? What I witnessed yesterday, I sat there in awe, because I have not ever heard such buffing. Like, the prime minister is just a man that is so steeped in compassion, and it is a compassionate leader that la da da da. And I'm like, what are we even talking? I at some point I forgot what we were talking about.
Way out in left field, man. He's not even a part of the game. I mean, he is so far in left field. He is not even a part of the game. I mean, this is crazy. You understand?
Yeah.
But I look, like you. I mean, you may not have lost respect, but there's a few of them that I thought were very good men, man. And I totally lost respect for them, because I just don't understand how could you be so blind and believe that this prime minister is doing all the right things when he's doing all the wrong things, considering everything in front of you.
Yeah, and even if you look at what's in the news today, the 700 furloughed workers going to now be fired. That offers really no certainty at this point, because it is the argument I make now, right? Right now, there are 500, and I think it was 86 people infected with COVID during the month of May. The country is still not on a lockdown. Yet 1 year ago, when it was 122 people, you locked me down. How do you then say that I am safer today than I was then? And don't tell me nothing silly about a silver bullet, because I heard the Minister of Health make that nonsensical statement, right? Because the vaccine isn't a cure. But sure, we have the vaccine, but we are no safer. I don't imagine that our healthcare system is in a much more grander state. I understand people are still outside on the porch, right? So we are where we were a year ago. And the problem is, I don't think that they have figured out how to maneuver themselves out of a wet brown paper bag at this point, but they continue to pat themselves on the back for how, words by Desmond Bannister, masterful the handling has been by the Prime Minister. And I don't really understand what is everybody's thing about blowing this helium bubble up the sphincter muscle of the Prime Minister. It kind of escapes me. Why does that seem to be the tactic by all of the ministers? None of them seem to want to say, listen, have there been missteps? Absolutely. Here are what the missteps were. You know them well. But we ask the Bahamian people to consider that along with the missteps, here are some of the mitigating circumstances that led us in the direction that we had to go in. I didn't get that yesterday. It almost sounded like all praise to Allah the whole time that I was listening to Jeffrey Lloyd. And I really like Jeff, but I have no clue what yesterday was about. Let's take another one. Good morning, caller. You're on. Caller, you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. I saw you the other night with champagne. Charmer, as it seems.
The safe kind. The safe kind.
As it seems. Listen,
mm-hmm.
You know, I listened to some of the show yesterday, and I agree with most of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I respect Mr. Lloyd, but, you know, it was just a PR exercise, and I'm sure it was well rehearsed,
mm-hmm.
and because it came off as such. And there was, I don't know how many times he stood in the mirror and actually practiced to believe what he was saying in reference to his confidence in our prime minister. But, you know, there's a real world when you go in your car and you screw up the window, you roll up the window, and you turn that AC on and you just have tunnel vision. You just focus on where you want to go, your destination. You can have loads of people on both sides, horses, cows, everything, waving at you. But if you just focus on your destination, you're not concerned and you don't see around you. But as far as you're concerned, or maybe you may stop and give one or two persons a ride, that you all are comfortable. You're enjoying the AC, you're enjoying the ride, okay? Everything is wonderful, everything is beautiful. Don't worry about the naysayers. However, there are other persons outside the car who are burning up and other going with other issues, but you don't see it. You're just concerned about the few persons around you. And I think this is the main problem you have with persons who are the ones who are saying all of these wonderful things. I believe in balance, Yvonne. I believe that, yes, you can say, because he is your prime minister, your leader, and you all work, you all serve in the cabinet, and you all are supposed to make decisions together. However, when you come and you lotion up and you just say, oh, all the glowing things, he's wonderful, and I know his heart and whatever have you. I don't think you said that, but I'm just saying. But there has to be, however, there are some things that I would suggest, or I would, you know, you understand, speak to you, and then listen to the majority of the calls yesterday. There are persons who have a legitimate concern, like the contractor.
Yes.
All in reference to
with the fact that the mortgage corporation no longer gives out the contracts and that they now assign it to the bank.
But Mr. Lloyd, but I didn't appreciate. He didn't listen to that man.
Mr. Lloyd made Mr. Lloyd's point was very, very true and real, which is the government has made the decision not to take that kind of stuff on. And I hear you, right?
Yeah.
The problem is when you do it the way the F&M government has done it, which is assign it to the banks, right?
Right.
The banks now do this thing that they do to all small men, and that is weed them out and kill them. That is the reason why lawyers cannot, go, no matter how deliberate, no matter how attention to detail the lawyer is, he cannot go and do a title search for the bank because he's not on the bank's list. And that kills them. And they're doing the same thing to contractors. Whereas when the mortgage corporation had it, right? The mortgage corporation dealt with it on a case-by-case basis and assigned work. I may be a contractor, right? That is very good at building a house. Do I have $1 million worth of indemnity insurance? No, I do not. That automatically disqualifies me in some instances. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and they
do the same thing to the lawyers. Do you have X amount of dollars in indemnity insurance? No, I do not. Why? Because I'm a small businessman. And so it is weeding out the little man.
Right.
Without weeding out the little man.
And this is what I think the point the gentleman was trying to make. And you have to, because guess what? There are many of them who are out there. Like he said, just go and apply. It's easy to go and just apply. However, you know, what's going to be the end game for me? And there has to be provisions. And this area, they have to look at, you know, listen to what these people are saying.
Right.
And there are different areas of concern that many Bahamians have. And they don't feel as if they're being heard. And I heard, before I go, a gentleman had called and said that, you know, don't worry, in essence, you are the leader. You all are in charge. So you all go and you all stick with your guns. In reference, don't mind. Like, suffering with the people.
I heard that as well.
You have to remember the people. You can't forget the people. So you're not going to please all of the people, but you try and hear and you know, don't just continue to say, this is what we did. Fact. Because a person can come and come to you as to things that they're not seeing done, and they can put facts behind that as well. But that's all I want to say. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much as well. I think I remember the caller that talked about Moses. The people God sent Moses not to get into the promised land. I don't think I remember the story going away. I think it was some sort of disobedience that caused Moses not to enter the promised land. And so, yeah, you got to get these kind of things straight. I hear my music. Is it time to go to break already? Jesus. All right. The one that got me, though, was the, how much was the QCs paid? And Mr. Lloyd says, oh, I have absolutely no idea. Well, where you was, well, where you was in the cabinet meeting when we discussed paying the QC them minister? You was away. I'll have to tell the Attorney General to that it's still out there in the public domain, that he ought to get on it. No, man, you here. And it's a collective decision. You all collectively just decide who all could pay what and how much it could be. It was fluffy. Anyway, I'm going to the break. Don't move. Leave a mill. I'll be back.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity. We're good for you.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The lines are open. I'm giving you all an opportunity to talk to me because I feel like sometimes I just keep talking to y'all. And so I want to make sure that y'all don't think that I is a one-man band, right? So y'all could call me, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, all right? A text writer here says, good morning. Do you remember when, asked several years ago, should Christie go or stay? Obie Wilscombe was a great defender as well. Does that mean that Jeffrey Lloyd would be one of those people that gets sweep out baby with the bathwater? Is that what you are suggesting, text writer? Another text writer here says, good morning. Check out how all beaches are being closed in the closed again. We are surrounded by seas and beaches, yet we only have access to 3 or 4 beaches. Is this the Bahamas? This one says, the unmitigated gall of Minister Lloyd to answer the teacher from Grand Bahama yesterday saying, we are aware that we owe teachers increments and allowances, and when we get the money, we'll pay them. What kind of answer is that? So nonchalant. I live in Jeff Lloyd is in cabinet, and he admitted on national airways that he don't know what the government spent on the Frank Smith and Shane Gibson case. Yeah, I thought that was quite laughable. Just to say, oh, I am unaware of that. What? I mean, you could ballpark me. Ballpark me, minister. Buffer me. Well, you know, sometimes the government makes the decisions that they have to make. Justice has no price tag. And so there will be people that will argue whether or not the money was well spent in the name of fairness and in the pursuit of justice. The government took a position. That position, the price tag of it isn't something that is in the public domain. At whichever time we deem it necessary, the Cabinet of Bahamas will make known that amount. But be advised that we do everything as we can, as judicious as possible, in a manner that we deem is in the best interest of the Haitian people. Next question. But you can't come tell me you've been sitting in the room and you ain't know. That's all I said. Or you might have been sitting in the room. You might have been away, but you should have read the minute paper, right? Because they send the minutes of the meetings for you all to read so everybody can know who say what. Anyway, let's take another call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, Mr. Miller. What's up, brother?
I did do it.
All as well. Good morning, and good morning to those who wake up in the land. Mr. Miller, yesterday I wanted to contribute it to one show, but because we had a fire burned down by us, so I also like to say kudos to the firefighters yesterday that who came to our rescue, and who did a tremendous job, and who is still here up to now. So kudos to your, to the men, and I think that was one or two ladies yesterday. But yesterday, I almost call you Mr. Lloyd. Mr. Miller, as a Bohemian, as a proud Bohemian, there ain't no politics, and this is what I can say to you. How could Mr. Lloyd sit on a talk show and say those things to people who are living the opposite of what he say? He says that the prime minister have compassion. Remember a couple of years ago when he was telling the employees to have compassion, show love, but Miami, he ain't doing these things. He ain't doing these things, Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Lloyd is one of the cabinet ministers in this government that I have the utmost respect for. But I can tell you one thing from yesterday that surprised me. That honestly surprised me.
Yesterday was a little surprising to me as well.
It was surprising. I mean, come on, man. Now, Mr. Miller, be real with yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lloyd is a very highly intellectual person in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Lloyd is not only a clergyman, but he's well-respected.
Mm-hmm.
But F&Ms that I spoke to yesterday, they asked me, they don't know which script, who gave Mr. Lloyd that script, but that was the wrong script.
Yeah.
You know, if you're you see Dwayne Sands, as bad as people might bash him, Dwayne Sands is called it as it is. You know, he's called it as it is. And the thing, what I like with it, when Mr. Smith was talking, when Mr. Lloyd talked with Fox, Toby, tell him what Fox is. And this man could have not even answered those questions. But I want to leave these three things with you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Lloyd, if you're listening this morning, Fox, when you first took government in 2017, instead of your governor on day one, you all went on a vacation. That's Fox, Mr. Lloyd.
Yes.
Fox, right? The prime minister, the CEO, the leader of this country, sit down with a convicted criminal and forge someone's signature.
The signature was forged. Just make sure we get the language correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Fox, Mr. Lloyd, two of your fellow cabinet ministers, one who is still sitting today, not by the opposition leader, not by the PLP people, the magistrate condemn him.
That is also a fact.
Facts.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Appreciate you doing it.
Enough for the day.
All right. Let's read a couple of these text messages. It says, that's how it is. You could expect them things from people who are singing for their supper. I don't feel like Jeffrey Lloyd is singing for his supper. He has his nomination. And I believe Jeff is running a pretty decent race in South Beach. Well, not a pretty decent race. Let me watch the language. Based on the math, I have Jeffrey in the winning column. It's just simply based on the math. Now, there may be things that change that will change the math, but the math, to me, doesn't suggest that Jeffrey Lloyd will easily be upseated in South Beach. That's what I'm saying. Did you listen to the show yesterday from beginning? I said I did. Mr. McCartney always talking about him on the radio. It seems like Jeff changes is not the same person. Okay, does anybody know if the people who are being released, fired, let go from the hotel is some of the people who took the COVID-19 shot already? I don't know, but I'll tell you what is interesting. It is funny that the hotel was able to use the emergency order this entire time as the reason they could drag Big Man through this entire nonsense of furlough with them for a whole year. And there is an emergency order still in place, but y'all could fire 700 people. Y'all are curiously interesting. Jeffrey Lloyd was sad yesterday. He was licking the prime minister's boots. Okay, I don't know if he went that far, but we'll see. Jeffrey Lloyd was oblivious. He don't even know how unhappy teachers are with him. And Mr. Miller, I mean teachers at the primary, high school, and college levels. We are very unhappy with Mr. Lloyd. Refuses to listen to the teachers or the unions. He only listens to the managers. We are so disappointed. Okay. And I really didn't want to make this show like about Beat Up Jeffrey Lloyd show, right? Because, you know, that was on Warren McGardney's show. I was just telling you that I happened to listen to it yesterday. Leaving truly, Morgan Freeman does have a good voice, but the late, great Sir Charles Carter had a superior, cool, smoother, more mesmerizing voice. Morgan Freeman is like your luxury cabin cruiser. Sir Charles Carter was like the royal family's super luxury yacht or personal cruise ship. Morgan Freeman is like Fort Montague, while Sir Charles Carter is like Fort Charlotte. You see the big difference? Rest in peace, Sir Charles Carter. Deepest sympathies to you and your family, and loved ones. Dr. Minnis, Then better have a big state funeral for Sir Charles. We miss him. Okay. The Prime Minister made people who lived on the beach with the water splashing on their back porch stay in their homes and couldn't go on the beach right in their backyard. And we are to think he's a wise man. I don't know. Hi, Levin. Jess' performance yesterday reminded me of the Republicans. What is this? Reminded me of the Republicans' loyalty to Trump. Only thing left for him to kiss, only thing was left for him to kiss the ring. If he chooses to disregard what his eyes see and ears hear concerning the PM, that is on him. But for God's sake, don't expect us to as well. I really thought that Jeff had more integrity than to sit up on live radio and lotion, man. You people, I can't read some of this stuff, you know. How much time I got, Ali? 5 minutes? Let's go for it. Good morning, Mr. Miller. Do you know anything about the barbershop being closed on Sunday? No, I do not. As a matter of fact, I don't know anything about barbershops on Sunday. I cut my hair every Wednesday. It's been a standing tradition of mine for almost 10 years now. Levin, I know why Papa picked Minnis to be leader of the FNM, so he could have come back, but Minnis switched on him and went with the people who could not stand Papa, leaving there in the back of Gladstone Road digging up Phil to sell. What does it say? I read that one already. Good morning, Mr. Miller. I was waiting on the whip to red up. I cry shame on his. I can't really understand that. Okay. Let's take one more call before I get to the island. Good morning, Callie. You're on. Callie, there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Hey, how are you?
Yes, Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm.
There are two things I want the whip to know.
Mm-hmm.
No match rate, number one. Marvin Dames and Minister Marvin Dames and Dwayne Sands was not on trial in the magistrate court. You know that.
Okay.
I'm a policeman retired 35 years,
mm-hmm.
right? You spent 11 years on the fence. The victim got to stop talking with Marvin Dames. No magistrate could never condemn Marvin Dames and Dr. Dwayne Sands because they were never on trial.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who he could have condemned if he convicted them was the ones who was before her.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And another thing, what we're talking about, you in not in your wildest dream you wouldn't be able to get Fred Mitchell to go on a talk show and talk Bible with Barry Christie, right?
Why would
Jeff Lloyd go and talk with his prime minister?
I don't imagine anybody that sits in the man cabinet will talk bad about him. Yeah. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying, yes, you don't think yesterday was cuddly?
I'm fine, but come on, talking a while ago, too. I'm going to stop the foolishness.
Yesterday was a big reach into the bag, though. Like, you know, oh, the Prime Minister doesn't have a problem with the media. I can't say the Prime Minister has a problem with the media.
What do you expect him to say?
I don't expect him to say the Prime Minister has a problem. He could just say what he's seeing.
No, he can't say that.
The Prime Minister has spent a lot of his time in his professional capacity as a physician. They do not necessarily meet with people and collaborate with people on that level. The Prime Minister is a first-time Prime Minister. And we, as a Bahamian electorate, have become so accustomed to people like Mr. Perry Gladstone Christie that have been more loquacious, or Hubert Ingraham that has been a senior statesman. And so maybe it is our expectation that is not being met.
Right.
Not because the Prime Minister lacks, but because our expectation is too great. That would have been a perfect answer. But what he did say was, oh, I see the Prime Minister come out of cabinet and he's engaging the news reporters. And we know that that's not the truth.
He's talking to them, but he don't talk long. And he say something to them.
I mean,
he's given a response.
I've had the great occasion to work in around the office of the Prime Minister and around the Cabinet Office during Perry Christie's tenure. Let me tell you something. Sometime, Christie got these reporters for an hour minimum.
Huh.
Minimum. You will never get it from Hubert Minnis. Never, ever in this life.
But guess what, Mr. Miller, guess what? Ingraham never talked. I don't remember Prime Minister Ingraham stand up.
Mr. Ingraham wasn't as welcoming with the media as well.
Ingraham said what he got to say, and he gone.
Correct.
It's just like a flash, and he gone. Just like a flash of lightning.
Yeah.
I wake around the Wall Street Bill Center with him from 1992 until January 1997, I can tell you.
You didn't have the kind of blunders, though. Oh, you're fishing in from the moon.
No, he said that to the opposition. And I don't get it wrong, man.
I got him to eat my stew fish.
He said that's what Brad Davis is doing. The opposition, I'm fishing from the moon.
Yeah. Right, call.
You doing that?
I flat out of time. Thank you for giving me a call. Listen, that's my time. I already hear you hear the music. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I can't go find out what's happening with this land grab. Don't move. The news, it's now.
woman and man up. They say stay down and we stand up. Shots.